I happened to hear an interview of a gold medalist at Pyeongchang Winter Olympics. After he won gold medals at several different events in ice skating, he was asked how grueling and rigorous the training had been. In reply, he said, to the point of where I wanted to die. He felt like dying when he still had more laps to go, even though he'd already reached his physical limit. We can imagine what painstaking and arduous moments he went through. Because of his toil and efforts, he had the good outcome of winning gold medals. Did you have such hard moments when you wanted to die? Of course, because you had faith, I believe you didn't want to die. But have you suffered to the point of death to achieve your goal? There is a goal that requires us to make efforts to the point of death. Which is casting off sins. As said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. We are urged to fight against sins to the point of shedding blood, which means we need to have a fierce struggle to cast off sins. If you think you are exhausted to the point of death to cast off sins, to achieve a good purpose or bear good fruit, I challenge you to overcome everything with all your strength, considering that as an opportunity. Your hard efforts and toil for the good outcome are called work. Today, I'd like to share grace with you based on Senior Pastor's previous sermon entitled, Each Man's Work Will Become Evident. Today's scripture likens our life of faith to building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. As said in verse 11, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We base our life of faith only on the faith in Jesus Christ. As we receive the forgiveness of sins by faith in Jesus Christ, get born again by the Holy Spirit, and become God's children, our life of faith begins. Accepting Jesus Christ is laying the foundation for building. Each man starts building on the foundation, this foundation. Then, what do we build? We find the answer from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, which reads, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? As said, because the Holy Spirit dwells in God's children, they are called the temple of God. So we are building a temple in our heart in which the Holy Spirit dwells. To make our heart clean and perfect through circumcision and faithfulness is our life of faith. But a different work is required of each person in building a temple in his heart. As I mentioned earlier, work refers to hard efforts and toil. Each builder's efforts and toil are different in level. Verse 12 says, now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. The verse categorizes each man's work, namely, building on the foundation of Jesus Christ to six kinds, which are gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. And God says that there will be a day when the work becomes evident. Verse 13 says, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it. Today, we will briefly look over the meaning of the day when each man's work is revealed and delve into the work categorized into six kinds. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw can be compared to our levels of faith. But today, rather than explaining in detail about each level of faith, I'll talk about several individuals who enter their heavenly dwelling place according to their faith, how they built up their work in faith, and what the results of their work were, based on Senior Pastor's sermon series, Heaven. First, let us briefly look over the meaning of the day. Verse 13 says, each man's work will be revealed on the day. First, the day refers to the time when a particular session is over, like the year end. Towards the end of the year, each man's work for the year is revealed. The work of pastors, Sunday school teachers, cell leaders, sub-district leaders, district leaders, group leaders, leaders of mission groups is revealed. Especially as for those who stay faithful with an unchanging heart like gold all through the year, their work is revealed for sure. Yet, with passing of time, many people lose their fervor. In times of trouble, they fail to give thanks. As they lose the fullness of the Spirit and passion for their God-given duties, they let some of their members become a long absentee. It becomes evident whether they built up their work with love, faith, and a sincere heart. It reveals how much effort and sincerity they showed before God, how earnestly they prayed with tears and fasted for the souls, and how much they loved and visited the souls for the year. So, the first meaning of the day is the end of a particular session. Second, the day means times of tests. In verse 13, we find, the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. The verse notifies us that there will be a test of fire. A test of fire refers to trials or tribulations during which our faith is tested. I told you that the levels of faith are compared to gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. Each man's faith is revealed in times of tests. So, what is the most inflammable among gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw? It's straw. Once straw catches fire, it is burned up quickly. And then, next is hay, and after that is wood. If the flame is weak, wood may resist fire for long, but because it is damaged with fire, it looks bad in appearance. The next is precious stones, which are not burned by fire. But in violent flames, some precious stones may lose their unique characteristic or even be broken. But even if gold or silver catches on fire, they don't change. Rather, its purity rises with impurities removed. Likewise, if we have faith like gold or silver, we won't change in times of tests, but overcome them and glorify God. For example, as Daniel and his three friends overcame their test by faith, they became all the more precious ones. Gold or silver don't burn up by any test or fire, but rather rise in value. So on the day we are tested by fire, we can see the quality of each of our work. Third, the day means the day when we finish our life on earth and stand before the Lord. To be exact, it is when we face the great white throne judgment. Revelation chapter 22 verse 12 says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done." As said, when the Lord comes back and his believers are lifted up, the seven-year wedding banquet and the millennial kingdom begin. After that comes the great white throne judgment. It is a time when all people cultivated on earth have their faith evaluated. They receive rewards according to their deeds and enter their heavenly dwelling places. Next, I'll talk about people of different levels of faith, which are gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. We will go over how they built up their work and which heavenly dwelling places and rewards were given to them. Of course, even those who've gone to heaven haven't entered their dwelling place or received rewards yet, but Senior Pastor shared about this in advance through his sermon series, Heaven. Senior Pastor once said, "How happy we are to be alive and cultivated on earth. No matter how small your faith is, even if you're at the first or second level of faith, because you're still being cultivated, you have a hope of growing your faith and entering New Jerusalem. But those who've already gone to heaven have no chance to pile up more rewards, so he said that we should be happier for that chance. The people whom I'm going to talk about have already gone through the cultivation, so they have no more opportunities. We have to take after those in Jerusalem or the third kingdom of heaven, but also from examples of those in the paradise, the first or second kingdoms, we have to look back on ourselves as to whether we have shortcomings that they had. Talking about the examples of those in the paradise, the first or second kingdoms of heaven, I'll explain about the areas where they lacked. This is not to criticize or point out their wrongs, but it is to have lessons from them. Even in the world, we can get helpful tips from the essays on how someone achieved success, but also we can get greater help from the essays on how someone had failure, because we can guard ourselves against the factors of failure. We can be on alert, keeping them in mind. That's why Father God told us about them. Today's scripture categorizes faith into six kinds. We've learned that there are five levels of faith, but the Father categorized it into six kinds, including straw, which refers to the state of no faith at all. Straw is the remaining part of the rice plants after the grain has been removed, so they have no life or value. It signifies faith not worthy of salvation. Aside from straw, I'll talk about the faith of gold, silver, precious stones, wood, and hay. First, let's talk about hay, the first level of faith. Senior pastor mentioned a few cases where a person entered the paradise in heaven. First, it's the case of a robber who was crucified on Jesus' side and received salvation by repenting right before his death. Except that he accepted the Lord as his Savior, he didn't fight against sins or live by the Word of God. Like this, the paradise is prepared for those who accepted God but made no efforts for his kingdom and his righteousness. Strictly according to the justice, they fall short of salvation, so they could be thrown away like the chaff. But God of love and mercy considers their repenting right before death and accepting Jesus Christ as faith, and allows them to be saved. Accepting the Lord right before death and barely receiving salvation is called shameful salvation. But there are more shameful cases where people stagnated at the first level of faith despite their many years of life of faith. The typical example of this is Sarah, Abraham's wife. No wonder she should have had great faith as Abraham's wife. Yet, she failed to cast off her fleshly thoughts and evil. Because she had fleshly faith, which is knowledge-based faith, when God made a covenant about Isaac, she just left without believing the word. Even though she'd seen God's work and experienced his faithfulness, she couldn't believe from her heart. Because she chose to do what looked good to her eyes, she couldn't wait patiently for God's promise, but gave her maid Hagar to Abraham. When she bore Abraham a son, Sarah became jealous and expelled them from their household. She didn't just keep evil in her heart, but revealed it outwardly. She even fell short of the second level of faith. Even though she was physically with Abraham, there was a great spiritual gap between them because she disobeyed, involving her fleshly thoughts. Even when Abraham offered Isaac as a burnt offering, she couldn't notify her. Even though Abraham loved Sarah, who went through trials with him and wanted her to enter a good dwelling place in heaven, the result didn't turn out to be so. That's why Abraham lamented over her death. Even though she lived in such a good spiritual environment, because she stayed in flesh and didn't change her heart and deeds, she couldn't expect a better place than the paradise. And senior pastor shared the case of a church member who went to heaven. She attended this church from her childhood, heard the gospel of holiness, and saw the works of God. Even so, she got stricken with a serious disease and ended up in the paradise. She heard the word of God and witnessed God's power, but didn't go further than that. She didn't try to grow her faith through this occasion, nor did she long for spirit or cultivate her heart into truth, a spirit. Attending church from her childhood, she found it natural to be in the church. So, even though she had God-given duties, she lacked faith and love, which is really important. So what she did couldn't be piled up as we were. Although she was physically in church, the way she worked was the same as that of the worldly people. Because she began her life of faith by her parents, she didn't have fervor for faith. She was just following her parents. Meanwhile, she got stricken with a disease by a spiritual cord. To overcome that faith, she had to show her faith. Even though it was caused by the spiritual cord of her families, if her faith had been strong enough, she would have overcome it, but she fell short of spiritual faith to overcome it. Yet, as she was suffering from a disease, she realized that she lacked true faith and tried to have it. As a result, spiritual faith began to sprout, and she could be saved by their faith. Like this, even if you follow your parents to church from childhood and carry out your duties, it doesn't guarantee your salvation. For salvation, from children 5 years of age and over, have to receive the Holy Spirit and believe in our heart, in our Lord's providence of the cross and His resurrection truly from their hearts. Even though little children, at least they have to know the fact that we are saved by Jesus Christ, and they have to have faith in resurrection. As said in John chapter 6, verse 53, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in yourselves. For our spiritual growth, we need to hear the Word of God, the bread of life, and act accordingly. Only then can we grow our faith. Even though she'd lived a Christian life for long, she failed to grow her faith into spiritual faith by which she could show deeds on her own. So she ended up in shameful salvation. Among people who received shameful salvation are those who once reached the second or third level of faith but had a setback because of tests or trials. She lost her first love for God but couldn't recover it. The church in Ephesus was also rebuked for leaving their first love. We read in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore remember from where you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place, unless you repent. On an individual level, to remove the lampstand means the Holy Spirit will be taken away from one's heart. Such a person cannot be saved. People may give an excuse that they lost first love because they had trouble with others or faced extremely hard moments. But the most fundamental and primary reason for someone to lose first love is that he looks back to the world. Even those who've been running a vigorous spiritual race fall into flesh as they look to and take in the world. The person I'm going to talk about from now on lost her first love for God, and as she tried to recover her love for God, she couldn't pass the test. She used to work faithfully as a district leader, but as her income increased greatly, she began to neglect God's work and take a break from praying, while giving an excuse that she was busy with her work. Her love for God turned into love for the world and money. Meanwhile, she got a disease and only had a 10% chance of survival, even with surgery. Then, she tried to repent. When she came to receive senior pastor's prayer, he lamented and advised her, saying, "You used to work faithfully for God, but as you make a lot of money, you stop working for Him and pray only a little. What would God say to you?" Will you probably say to God, "I've earned a lot of money and gave a great amount of offerings"? Does God tell you to give offerings because He lacks money? Because all things were created by Father God, what would he lack? What God truly wants us to do is to make our souls prosper, pile up heavenly rewards, and happily live in heaven for eternity. Senior pastor gave this advice. Hearing this advice, she realized her faults and repented. Resolving to live only for God's kingdom and in His righteousness, she prayed to receive a duty again. She intended to bear fruit in keeping with her repentance. After she thoroughly repented and received His prayer, she had a checkup which showed no cancer cells at all. Amen. After that, she was planning to close down her business and focus on her duty as a district leader. But because she had to earn a living on her own, a senior pastor allowed her to run her business while carrying out her duty as a district leader. So she went to work 2 days a week, entrusting her duty to another person on other days. Like this, she devoted herself to God's work. Meanwhile, she again faced a test, the same kind of which caused her to lose first love. If she had held on to the grace she received and passed the test, God would have taken responsibility, but she couldn't. With her tough financial situation, she again lost fervor in her duty and the fullness of the Spirit. Because she didn't keep her heart's decision and failed to pass the test, the disease recurred. Moreover, with her strong righteousness and frameworks, she broke peace in many areas. Having received God's grace, she should have shown spiritual faithfulness, which is more important than fleshly faithfulness, but she couldn't. As she got sick, people around her took care of her with such great devotion for a year. But as she was tormented with pain, she resented and complained against them rather than being thankful for their service or sacrifice. At the second level of faith, people try to live by the word. Even when evil is stirred, they try not to reveal it but suppress it. If they fail to hold it back and express it outwardly, they regret it and repent it. But she gave a hard time to even those who served her. So God couldn't acknowledge her faith to be at the second level. Yet she could be in the boundary of salvation because there had been earnest prayer of love like that of Abraham that saved Lot from the city of Sodom. Although she repented of her faults before her death and could receive salvation, sadly, she couldn't expect a better dwelling place than paradise. We've seen many cases where people were healed of incurable disease, changed their heart, and went back to the world, ignoring the word of God. But what is more important than being healed of a physical disease is avoiding the punishment of hell and receiving salvation. So how foolish it is to forget this fact. We can find that receiving grace and blessing is not everything. Circumcision of the heart is more important. Also, we have to keep in mind that we shouldn't forget the grace we received. Some people who received grace and made a resolution lose their fervor with passing of time and don't feel anything even when God gives them grace. They can respond to God's grace. At the end of the Revelation lecture, Senior Pastor said as follows, "You shouldn't repeatedly receive an abandoned grace, like a person on the edge of a cliff, desperately hanging onto the rope. You have to hold onto the grace. By engraving the grace in your heart, you should bear spiritual fruit." Grace is not just being healed of a deadly disease. We can feel the Father's love from trivial matters and achieve victory by holding onto it. Recently, a vice cell leader in my parish sent me a picture. She took a picture of the sky and captured a heart-shaped hole in the cloud. This is the one taken by me, but there's another picture. But usually, God shows us a heart-shaped cloud, but in her picture, there was a heart-shaped hole in the cloud. the cloud looked like a hand. It looked like the Father's hand. You can see the a man's hand. Just like we make a heart like this. It looks like the Father's hand making a heart. So as I text her, Father made a heart with his hand. She replied with an emoji of eyes shedding tears. It turned out that although she wanted to work faithfully for God, she couldn't. So with an apologetic heart, she said, "Father, I'm sorry. Do you still love me?" Then she took a picture of the sky and captured a heart-shaped hole in the cloud. It looked like the Father's hand making a heart, as if he was saying, "I love you." Can you imagine how happy she was? Engraving the evidence of God's love, she's been striving for victory, even in trials, or I believe she will always achieve victory. We shouldn't repeatedly... this is not small or trivial. There are people who haven't seen such clouds at all, not even once. So, if you haven't healed of a deadly disease, or if you began to walk, if you had no hope but began to have hope by Father God's grace, after you wander in the world and realize about the Father God, how could you receive, how could you forget that grace? You shouldn't receive and abandon grace repeatedly. Like a person on the edge of a cliff, desperately hanging onto the rope, we have to hold on to the grace. Through the cases where people have the paradise as their eternal dwelling place, we can feel the love of God who wants to save even one more soul to lead them to heaven. He saved even a person who didn't believe in him for all his life, but repented and accepted him right before his death. Even though a person professed to believe in God, but didn't have any evidence for her love for God, seeing faith like a mustard seed, he saved her. Even though someone was deprived of salvation, God saved him through love that surpasses the justice. We can feel Father God's profound love for them. Next, I will talk about wood, which is the second level of faith. People at the second level of faith can enter the first kingdom of heaven. People at the second level of faith can be compared to athletes who try hard to learn the rules and win the race. For some races, all the athletes are given a participation award. Likewise, people enter the first kingdom of heaven are given a house and an imperishable crown as participation awards. Even though there were more words they couldn't follow than those who followed. God sees their efforts as faith and rewards them. Still, the salvation of those at the second level of faith is called shameful salvation. When people of second level of faith enter heaven, they feel so embarrassed for not having lived by the word and cast off sins even though they knew the word. As in mountain climbing, we have to keep going to the summit in our life of faith. But there are cases where people stagnate at the second level of faith. It's like stopping at an upslope in the middle of mountain climbing. Their resolve to reach the summit weakens, and they search for other things which are not difficult. Because they find it hard to cast off sins, they delay their fight against sins and focus on other things. They think they can do volunteer works or work faithfully in the areas of performing arts, etc. But the only way to grow our faith is to cast off untruth from our heart. To the extent we cast off untruth and achieve a sincere heart, we can receive spiritual perfect faith from above. So whatever we do for God, we have to make sure to circumcise our heart. But even among those who pray and fast a lot for God's kingdom, there are people who stagnate in the second level. Such people just enjoy praying like they enjoy habit. We fast to cast off sins, but they misconceive that they've cast off sins just by their deed of fasting itself. Fasting is an act of earnestly asking God and disciplining ourselves, engraving the pain or suffering of fasting in our heart, we make up our mind never to commit sins again. Fasting or prayer itself doesn't circumcise our heart. But as we make up our mind and bring down God's grace and power, we can achieve circumcision of our heart. Of course, as we pray fervently and receive the baptism of fire of the Holy Spirit, I've just explained the basic principle of circumcising our heart. In doing so, we build up our work through hard efforts and toil. Unless we bring down God's grace and power, no matter how much we pray, we are slow to come into spirit. Senior pastor talked about a senior deaconess who died of old age. Even though she listened to the word for many years and professed to love God, the Lord and the Shepherd, she failed to cultivate her heart into truth. You have to know that while your heart is filled with untruth, even though she lived as a Christian for long and didn't commit a work of flesh, according to God's justice, strictly, the amount of spirit cultivated in her heart wasn't worthy of even the first kingdom of heaven. So, even though you live a Christian life for dozens of years, unless you cast off untruth, your faith doesn't grow. Our hard work and toil for the growth of faith becomes evident in the end. So if we have a goal of New Jerusalem, we have to make sure to make efforts to make it to the summit. Let me talk about another person in the first kingdom of heaven. He was an elder who harbored resentment towards the shepherd. In Exodus chapter 16 is a scene where the Israelites missed the days back in Egypt and grumbled against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You have brought us here, brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." In reply, Moses said, "This will happen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and bread to the full in the morning. For the Lord hears your grumblings which you grumble against him. And what are we? Your grumblings are not against us, but against the Lord." Resenting and complaining against a servant of God whom God guarantees with power is the same as complaining against God. This elder looked at things in his self-righteousness and frameworks. There was a person whom he didn't think was good. When the shepherd didn't deal with the person as he thought he should, he thought, why doesn't the shepherd side with me? Why does he overlook his faults? Why doesn't he figure out my heart but let me be in this situation? Because senior pastor knew his heart very well, he advised him several times, saying, "If he tells you to do something untruthful, you shouldn't obey it. But if that's truth, you have to follow the order and obey him." He gave him advice this way several times. But because he had such strong self-righteousness and frameworks, he couldn't understand the shepherd's advice. He thought the shepherd should point out the person's wrongdoings the way he wanted. He couldn't figure out the love of the shepherd who hovers each soul with patience and waits for them. His resentment and complaints piled up, and he had uncomfortable feelings towards the shepherd. Being in such a spiritual state, when his sins were pointed out, he didn't have strength to cast them off. Rather than discovering himself through sermons, he thought like, the person really has to listen to this message and realize his faults. So, he had no joy or thanksgiving. His hope for heaven faded away as well. Because he was afflicted and troubled, he couldn't give others hope or faith. As he had a disease, he couldn't be healed by faith, but went to heaven. So, even though you love the Lord and the Shepherd and work faithfully in the past, if you stagnate in your faith and lose the fullness, joy, and thanksgiving, you have to look back on yourself as to whether you harbor complaints about the church and the Shepherd. even though you didn't speak out about it, hovering resentment itself can create a great wall before God. With such a wall, you can't receive the fullness of the Spirit. You cannot pray fervently as you want. You lose passion and desire to work faithfully. Your face stiffens and grows dark. You begin to skip meetings where you should be present, and you even give up God-given duties. Rather than thoughts giving you faith and hope, you harbor complaints and negative thoughts, thereby decreasing your faith. Please keep in mind that even trivial feelings or resentment and words of complaint, if they pile up, they reveal the lack of your work. We have to keep this in mind. Next, let's talk about precious stones, which is the third level of faith. I believe if you've led a Christian life here at Mount Min and prayed continually, I think you've reached the third level of faith at least. At the third level of faith, you cast off works of flesh. Even those who are hot-tempered turn into gentle people, so people remark that you've changed into a good person. Like this, as your words and deeds change, you can give glory to God. It said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Because you live a life in which you give glory to God, God gives you the crown of glory. People at the third level of faith, the faith like precious stones, enter the second kingdom of heaven. Let me introduce a person who has the most rewards in the second kingdom. She'd been with this church since the founding as the prayer devotee. God informed us that she will receive the most rewards in the second kingdom. She'd always prayed with the shepherd since the founding of this church. Because she was hurt a lot out in the world and had no hope in the world, prayer made her forget all her sorrow and agony. Because she found that praying was the only way to pay back God's grace, she wanted to help the shepherd by always praying. Even when the church members went on a picnic, she went to a separate place to pray alone. So no wonder she piled up a tremendous amount of rewards. Also, God blessed her in his own way. When this church was founded, God inspired her to offer deposit money to rent a sanctuary building. Through this, she piled up a lot of rewards. But there was a reason she couldn't enter the third kingdom. She failed to cast off several things of the flesh. She had spiritual arrogance. Physically, she had nothing to brag about, but she had spiritual arrogance. She thought she loved the church and the shepherd and prayed more than anyone else. Because she prayed for many years, she piled up a lot of rewards, yet it caused arrogance to sprout in her heart. People who are faithful for the kingdom of God are likely to fall into this trap. When there is physical faithfulness, falls short of spiritual faithfulness. Although she confessed that she was a lowly person and nothing, she let spiritual arrogance take root in her heart. Only after she left her flesh, she realized she had such a heart. Because it's difficult to discover spiritual arrogance on our own, it serves as a big obstacle for us to come into spirit. Another thing was, she failed to keep peace with all men, because she'd lived in a miserable environment and hadn't received love from her family. She desperately held on to prayer because she wanted to be loved and comforted at least at the church. When someone treated her well, she had good feelings about her, but otherwise she had strong resentment. Figuring out her situation, senior pastor didn't point out her faults or reproach her, but when she received a word of advice from someone, she soon had feelings of resentment, thinking, the shepherd comforts me and stays on my side always. having been with her since the beginning founding of this church, Mrs. Bongnim Lee knew her very well. Even when she advised her, she harbored resentment. Then, how much more so with other people? If you only listen to people whom you acknowledge, you have strong self-righteousness and frameworks. When someone didn't treat her well enough, she was saddened. Knowing the truth, she tried to deal with such a person well. But with such feelings remaining in her heart, she sometimes failed to keep peace. Even though you don't burst out in anger, if you just have resentment or ill feelings towards someone and avoid talking to him, such physical feelings hold you back from growing in spirit. Even though she spent many years praying, she failed to root out her evil from her heart. Previously, God blessed her, by extending her life twice. Not able to eat anything, she became frail. When God was about to call her soul to heaven, senior pastor hung on to God with prayer and fasting, so God extended her life twice. But the, but when the same thing happened the last time, it was impossible for her life to be extended. Most of all, considering her physical environment, it was a blessing for her to go to heaven. If she had lived more, she would have lived in endless tears and agony because of her family problems. Because it was better for her to go to heaven, where she could have enjoyed true peace, God called her soul earlier. The lesson we can learn from her case is that just loving God and carrying out our duty is not everything. Our love for God should be accompanied by evidence. So there surely has to be a resolution to circumcise our heart and hard efforts to discipline our body and make it our slave. Next, let's talk about server, the fourth level of faith. Talking about this level of faith, we will explore the faith of martyrdom. People of this level of faith will enter the third kingdom of heaven and be given the crown of life. It's because those who enter the third kingdom of heaven have passed the test of giving up their life for the Lord. Only those who pass the test of giving their life are given the crown of life. Let me talk about a person who gave up his life during the Japanese colonial rule. It's about Pastor Kichur Chu. While Japan colonized Korea and compelled its people to recognize and worship the Japanese emperor as a king, many pastors in Korea gave in to the threats and joined the shrine worship. The denomination where Pastor Chu belonged to also agreed to participate. They even dismissed him from the denomination and expelled him from his church. The following is the prayer of Pastor Chu at his last sermon. Lord, do not dishonor your name by sparing my life. Even though my body is broken to pieces, make me keep your commandments. You hung onto the cross for me. You wore the crown of thorns, had your hands and feet nailed through, and sacrificed yourself to the last drop of your blood. How could I fear death and deny you? My only resolve is to die. For refusing to worship the shrine, he was arrested by the Japanese police and went through severe suffering in prison. Thereafter, he was repeatedly released and imprisoned and ended in martyrdom in 1944. Even today, some of our branch churches worldwide go through hardships because of persecutions. Thankfully, we have freedom of religion, so we don't suffer from beating, torture, or life-threatening moments. But today, we die a martyr alive. Even though we are not killed by guns, swords, or torture, we face moments to check whether we follow truth with all our life, despite all kinds of temptations or threats. Senior pastor also faced challenges demanding martyrdom on several occasions. He overcome them, only relying on the Father. In 1992, he faced a physical death. going through unspeakable hardships and ordeals. He hadn't rested or slept properly, as fatigue reached its physical limit, and because of disobedience of pastors and church workers piled up, God allowed this trial. One Saturday, blood started to flow out of his nose and mouth. As the bleeding continued until the following Sunday, it looked like he almost shed all his blood. He even left the last will before over 100 people, including pastors and church workers. He could have survived just by simple medical treatment, yet he didn't rely on worldly ways. Because he proclaimed that God is almighty and nothing is impossible with believers, he couldn't compromise before death. Even though he would lose his life, he chose not to dishonor God. At last, his breathing and pulse stopped. At this moment, our Lord came to the shepherd. He asked, "My servant, will you rest in my bosom or revive to carry out your duty?" Because senior pastor wanted to be with the Lord, he said, "Lord, I want to be in your bosom," because he only wanted to go to heaven. Then the Lord showed him two scenes. The scene showed that after senior pastor died, the enemy devil infiltrated the church and made it destroyed. And many of the church members went out to the world like sheep without a shepherd and ended up on the path to death. Then senior pastor pleaded, "Lord, please save me. I want to accomplish the construction of the sanctuary and come back to you with my church members." And then, with strong light coming upon him, he was strengthened to get back up. The church members who were crying for his death were astonished and overjoyed. The Lord revived him so that he could perfectly fulfill his duties in the end time. As the father prophesied, "My servant, chosen before the time began, wherever you go, I will be with you, and with signs and wonders, you will testify to the fact that I'm living." Because he has to fulfill Father God's will completely, he couldn't choose to be with the Lord at the time. By keeping his faith to the end, he passed the test of giving up his life. But I'm not talking about his case as an example of the faith of silver. This is to remind you of faith of martyrdom. At the fourth level of faith, one loves God to the utmost degree. So he loves God first, more than his parents, children, or himself. Only when we have such faith can we pass the test of losing even our life. After we receive the Holy Spirit, we face tests, big and small, in which we have to choose between the truth and the world. We have to choose the truth and pass the test. If we compromise with the world, our faith cannot grow, but rather we have a setback. If we always follow the desires of the Spirit, we can pass the test easily, but our fleshly desires hold us back. We are reminded in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, "For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do things that you please." Our self, which we develop before meeting God, causes us to live as we please. Just as Apostle Paul confessed, "I die daily, killing ourself and living by the word," is the same as giving our life. Namely, this is to die a martyr alive. It may be easy to confess, "I long to come into Spirit and Holy Spirit," but so far, we've had a time to think how difficult it is to have faith of martyrdom. Even though it is not easy, senior pastor has fulfilled 99% of the justice so that we can achieve it. Even now, he is fulfilling the justice so that more people can come forth as Holy Spirit. About gold, if I have a chance later on, I will explain about it more. Let me talk about the lastly, Let me talk about lastly, I will share one of the anecdotes of Pastor Kichor-chu, which I mentioned earlier. It was originally shared by her fourth son. Let me read his testimony. On the morning of September 1939, when my father was arrested the fourth times, we were having breakfast. He ate with my mother on the same table, and I was eating with my brother and grandmother. On that morning, my mother prepared a nice meal for him. As soon as he tried it, he exclaimed, "What a wonderful meal this is." But right at that moment, two Japanese policemen went into our room without taking off their shoes. They pointed out their fingers at my father and shouted, "Pastor Ju, stop eating right now. We have another meal prepared for you. I hope you enjoy that." My father sat still for a while. What do you think happened next? If you think my father boldly walked to them and allowed them to arrest him, saying, "I've already devoted myself to God." If you think this is what Pastor Jude did, you are mistaken. After my father sat still for a while, he stood up all of a sudden, stepped back, and went out through another door connected to the kitchen. I still don't know whether he went out to the door to run away or to find a place to pray, because outside was a place where he used to pray. Anyway, he just ran out the door. Realizing that he had no way out, he walked back inside. He just sat down on the spot, holding on to one of the pillars, and started crying like a little baby, like a little boy. My mother, who was running after him, held him from his back and cried together. I can never forget the prayer he offered as he was crying. He said, "I'm not able to bear the pain of my body anymore. Please take me to your kingdom quickly." He wept out loud. He cried out loud. I also remember my mother, who hugged him from his back, crying together. She said, "Pastor, you have to stay strong. All the church members are marching on, only looking to you. If you show your weakness, how could our church members live?" My father and my father were holding on to the pillar and wept together. As far as I saw, his feet were trembling like a leaf. I think this shows the humane aspect of my father, Pastor Kichor-chu. Hearing this testimony, I shed tears. We can die a martyr by being shot to death, but if we were to endure torture for a long time, it would never be easy. I shed tears thinking that how difficult it must have been for him. Even though he revealed his humane aspect, trembling out of fear. But for 5 years, from the day he was arrested until he died a martyr in 1944, he didn't give in to the persecutions, but kept his faith to the end. As I thought how he endured the imprisonment, I imagined him kneeling down on a cold cement floor and praying, relying on the Father and the Lord alone. There's a famous hymnal. It was composed by Kichor-chu. It goes as follows. Apostle Peter was crucified upside down. Sometimes we may face situations beyond our ability to resolve, but just as athletes endure moments which are grueling to the point of death, in order for us to enter the best dwelling place in heaven, we should make all the more efforts to overcome whatever we face. Among athletes, training for the Olympics are those who cannot bear to continue their arduous efforts and decide to give up. How lamentable this is. We've been diligently building up our work. Today's passage says that our work will be tested with fire. It says that if our work remains, we will receive a reward. If our work is burned up, we will suffer loss. How could we let our work be burned up? We have to strive to have faith of martyrdom by which we can confess, "I don't spare my life. I have nothing to fear." I hope that you will be triumphant in the spiritual battle against yourself and against the desire to give up and take a break, thereby getting a gold medal in the spiritual battle.
Hallelujah. Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.